What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 38. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about environmental toxins and how to avoid them at all possible. And we're titling it Toxins All Around Us because through researching this podcast, we've kind of realized toxins are everywhere. So we're going to try and do our best to help you guide through this and avoid things as possible. But Tom, so how's everything been this week?
So I know I've been talking about this a lot lately, but that marathon I'm running is coming up. So it's on a Sunday morning. So this last Sunday morning, I decided to go on a run. This next coming Sunday morning, I'm going to go on another long run just to get my mind right, get my body prepared that, hey, early in the morning on a Sunday, you're going to be doing this long ass run.
Yep.
So I'm trying to get the preparation dialed in. So one thing that's been happening to me for a while is I've been like stuck on that 15 mile mark. The last like three or four runs I've been on, once I get to 15 miles, like my hamstrings and my calves just tighten up so much I can't go on. So I was like, all right, today I'm going to push through that. I'm going to get to 20 miles.
No matter what.
Yep, that's my goal. So I bring some Epsom salt with me. I look at the bag that I have. I use Epsom salt for my recovery. It's a good source of magnesium. I look at the recommended dose if you're going to drink it. So I add, it says 2 to 4 teaspoons. I'm like, let me do 2 teaspoons. Let me stay on the low end. Add that to my water. Tasted disgusting, by the way. Do not recommend drinking Epsom salt.
Really? What does it taste like? Like sulfur?
Honestly, I've never had, I don't know what sulfur tastes like, so maybe.
Like charcoal.
It just was not good.
Okay.
So like I drank as much of that as I could, which wasn't a much. And then like we just kept diluting it every single time I passed a water fountain and would just kind of sip on it that way. And I'm also listening to that David Goggins book that you recommended.
Yeah, Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah, it's a great book. Really motivational. Like, that guy is absolutely psychotic. Like, the amount of torture he's willing to put himself through is at a whole nother level.
Next level.
So it was pretty inspirational. Nice little book to run to. So I get to that 15-mile mark. Everything's going good. I get to that 16-mile mark. And, like, in my head, I'm just like, yes! Patting myself on the back, you know.
Crushing it.
Finally broke through. And then right after I hit that 16-mile mark, I have an oh shit moment. Literally. Like, whatever that magnesium I took, it was too much. When you drink too much magnesium, it have a laxative effect. And it's not like, oh hey, I can hold this for like an hour. It was like, it's coming and there's nothing you can do about it. So luckily, I'm running down a hill and there's a bathroom in sight. If there was not a bathroom that close, or even if the men's room was where the women's room was, like an extra like 20 feet, I would not have made it. So I'm like trying to run because I really need to go. But at the same time, like if I'm running, I'm not able to like hold it in. So I'm like penguin walking for a little bit, then like sprinty, and then like penguin walking, like doing that for the next like 200 yards. Finally just like barely made it. And then while I'm sitting there, my legs tighten up like they never have before in my life. Like, my legs are just sitting there, like, cramping so bad and just shaking. So I'm like,
well, we said momentum's your best friend on these long runs. You don't want to stop.
Oh, stopping is, like, the worst enemy. So I'm just like, damn it. I was like, at least I hit 16. I got that PR. So I drink the rest of my water bottle, go to the water fountain, fill it back up, start drinking it. I'm, like, jogging back to my car, or, like, walking slash jogging back to my car.
Hold on, have you called it quits yet?
In my mind, I'm like, I'm
done.
16's, oh, I'm over 16. By the time I get back to my car, it's going to be 17.
Okay.
So I'm like, hey, that's a PR. That's good enough. So when I'm, once I start to get close to my car, I have to run down a big hill down to the parking lot. So I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit better. Let me not make this a total bust. Let me do a bunch of sprints up this hill until I hit that 18-mile mark. So I do 4 sprints up that hill, hit that 18-mile mark, and then I start walking back to the car after that. And then something hits me that I listened to earlier in that book. Is one of the stories that he gives is he did 11 pull-ups as part of his back workout one day when his goal was 12. And it ate at him all day long that he didn't do 12. So that night, he went back to the gym and did his whole back routine all over again. So, like, that thought ran through my head. I was like, you know what? If I drive home at 18 miles, I'm going to regret it for the rest of the day. For the rest of the week until I can finally get to that 20-mile mark. So I was like, you know what? Ditch my water bottle in the car. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do one more lap. So I did another sprint up that big-ass hill, did another lap around the park, and ended just shy of 21 miles.
Boom. That's what it is.
Yep. So that book is really inspirational. He talks about going through SEAL training with, like, a broken kneecap. He runs like 100 miles where he's literally pissing blood and shat himself like twice. So I was like, if he's willing to put himself through this much torture, I can deal with some like leg cramps and everything.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, it puts into perspective what your body's capable of.
Oh, definitely. And it's like, I'm not going to push myself to that level because like, I'm surprised he didn't die.
Yeah, it's not smart. Nothing smart about it.
But yeah, I can definitely push myself a lot further than I have. And yeah, after that, I felt great. I mean, my legs were kind of tight, but I don't know, just pushing through that wall definitely gave me a lot of confidence. And yeah, this Sunday, I'm going to shoot for 25 miles. And then after that, I think I'm prepared for 30.
And then, so what's the date again for the run?
I think it's the 14th. It's
okay. Are you going to have like a deload week?
So I'm going to do like a leg workout today, followed by an hour run after like, pretty much pre-exhaust my legs. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I'm going to do one long run. And then after that, it's just going to be, I'm not even going to do like weights for my upper body. It's just going to be like lots of yoga, foam rolling, just relax my entire body.
Just recover 100%.
Yeah. I want to be at my absolute best.
All right. So are you going to do the Epsom salt for your run? Because you should say you messed up the dose, right?
Yeah. So this Sunday I'm going to do 1 teaspoon instead of 2 teaspoons. So when I get home, I do an Epsom salt bath as part of my recovery. I look at the bag and the recommended dose is for the laxative effect.
Yeah, that's what it thinks you want.
It's not for, oh, hey, you're going to go run. You want some magnesium? Like, no, it's not for like a magnesium supplement. It's for that specific laxative effect. So it worked. That two teaspoons is a great recommendation. So yeah, I'm going to dial it back to 1 this week and see how it goes. I don't think I completely overdid it if it took me 15 miles for that
to like, kick in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you only go to the bathroom one time?
Oh yeah, that was it.
So yeah, so you weren't too far off. It wasn't like a 24-hour episode.
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't completely horrible, but yeah. It could have been.
It could have been. That would have been a funnier story.
Well, I would have just, there's like bushes around. I would have just like went in one of those.
Right there.
I mean, yeah. It is a Sunday at a park.
People are around.
Yeah. Luckily, I was on like a big ass hill. Uh-huh. So not everybody does that hill. A lot of people avoid that hill.
And some people don't want that problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's funny, man. That's a good story. Well, I finished that book, the one you're talking about, the David Goggins book, Can't Hurt Me. And I really liked it. And there's no doubt he's crazy. And there's no doubt he's extreme. And are his methods kind of great for everybody? No. A lot of people listen to his book and they'll get turned off. You know, he cusses a lot and he doesn't really cut any corners. He doesn't offer any excuses. It's more of just if things suck, you're on the right track, keep going. And for someone like me, if I could kind of tell you how my inner mind works, it would be that book. Like, it's crazy. I don't think it's particularly healthy, but it is like, oh, things suck. How can I make them suck more? Because I know if things suck, I'm on the right track, or at least on the right track to grow. So that's what I'm doing. And I was actually thinking about this dumb bike I have. I do a lot of my cardio now on this spin bike I have at the house, and I still have the same shitty seat that it comes with. You think that seat's comfortable?
Oh, I replaced mine the day I bought it.
Right away. Okay. Most people do, right? And I don't. And I'm not the smallest guy, so I'm pretty heavy sitting on this seat designed for, I don't know, a small Asian woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not designed for me at all. But I kept that seat because it's uncomfortable. It does not feel good, and it makes my cardio sessions even harder. And I know that's kind of twisted. I know that's weird. And but I think that gives me an edge. And does it really? I don't fucking know. But it does in my own mind. It makes me feel like I'm doing more. So I like that, and it makes me feel, just makes me feel good in a weird, like, masochistic kind of way. But something that came up in the book that really resonated with me, something I can relate with, is he talks about never being finished. Like, when you want to live your life at 100%, you're never finished because you can never hit 100%. And there's always areas to improve. And one of our clients, Nancy, we did a podcast with her maybe, God, I don't know, 15 episodes ago?
It was a long time
ago. 20 episodes ago. And she was a stud. Killer client, would do any, I mean, she would have ran through a brick wall if I told her to. And at the very end, it's about 10 months we worked together. She texts me like her one of her final weigh-ins. She texts me like her blood work, and she had hit all her goals. Like, she, and honestly, she crushed all her goals. She lost more weight than she ever thought she would. And my response was, "That's great, and we're just getting started." And she finally put two and two together, and she's like, "Man, you always say that. If we keep going down that road, we're never done." And I was like, yeah, we're never done. Like, on this life, if you want to live like me, we're never done. We're always trying to improve. We're always trying to get that edge somewhere. And she was like, "You're crazy. I'm not about that life." And now she is, you know, she's relaxed a little bit. She hasn't gained any weight back or nothing, but she lives life like a normal human. But with me wanting to be at 100, that's something I think about. I'm just getting started. I'm 17 years deep in this weightlifting game. I've done, I don't know how many diets, I don't know how many different training techniques I've gone through, but I genuinely feel like I'm just getting started. I'm better today, and tomorrow I'm gonna be better because I'm just getting started. And so I love that little message he had, that you're never finished. And I agree with that if you want to live a life like this. And again, talking about just being uncomfortable, so you haven't got to that part, you haven't finished the book, right?
I'm about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way done.
Yeah, so he's really big on stretching, and
yeah, I'm not up to that part yet.
Okay, so like I feel like the last quarter of the book, all he talks about is stretching. And if you don't know, I have an old back injury, so I'm kind of all tore up from like the waist down. Like, just certain muscles in my leg just don't fire right, and like my left calf is atrophied, my right quad is atrophied, like compared my legs. And that's just because I have those herniated discs in my back. And no excuses, like, I still get my training done, I still do everything I'm supposed to do. But if I really wanted to, I don't know, promote recovery more, I would focus more on yoga, I would focus more on stretching. And I know this, but I mean, honestly, I was put on this earth to lift weights. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good at lifting weights. I love to lift weights. You know what my big ass likes, doesn't like to do?
Get on the ground, get in uncomfortable positions, and stay there for like 30 seconds.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't like that shit. I do it, and even right now in my routine, that was something I would do twice a week. I would do it before leg days, and I would do it on my off days. I had a whole yoga routine, and it was hard, and it was effective, but could I do better? And I could. And I was like, all right, so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to wake up 20 minutes earlier, which isn't a problem for me. I already wake up dumbass early, and I'm going to incorporate this yoga routine into every workout session. So for the past week, I woke up about 20, 30 minutes earlier, and I've done a 30-minute yoga session every day. And it focuses predominantly on my lower body, just getting my hamstrings loose, getting my glutes loose, all this, like all the muscles through my hips that have just been tight for years. And I'm just focusing on that, and it does make me uncomfortable. It does suck. It is not fun, but that's a good thing. I know I'm on the right track, and I'm going to continue to do that, hopefully. Honestly, for the rest of my life, I really hope that I can get into my routine and it doesn't fall out of my routine, and because it's healthy, you know?
Yeah, speaking about the being uncomfortable, I finally started doing cold showers, mm-hmm. And it's only because I'm not opposed to cold exposure. I've been doing it all winter. It's just finally the weather's too nice for me to use my form of cold exposure. When I go on walks with the dogs, I'm that crazy person in shorts and a tank top when it's 40, 50 degrees outside.
Like, who is this fuck?
But now that it's like 60 and the sun's out, it's not cold anymore. I'm not getting goosebumps. I'm not getting chills. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess this doesn't count as cold exposure anymore. So now I'm starting to do cold showers.
How do those feel?
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Good.
Because I'm cold for 30 seconds. I'm cold for a minute.
Yeah.
As opposed to being kind of cold for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
too bad. Yeah. Good. No, I'm glad you're doing that. That's good. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Just incorporating that stretching into my routine and just getting up early. And that's the first thing I do every day now, is that little stretching routine. And I know no matter what I do that day, it could be the worst day of my life, I control that morning. I control those early few hours, that hour block when I first wake up. That is my time. And I do the most uncomfortable shit I can, and that's stretching my hamstrings. And yeah, that's it, man. I'm trying to grow, you know?
Oh yeah, I love having a morning routine. I've been having, I kind of switch it up from time to time, but I've been doing it for the last year and a half, 2 years. While I'm making my coffee in the morning, that, 10, 15 minutes it takes, I'm just sitting there doing like body weight stuff, a couple yoga things, kind of just listening to my body right away and just like, okay, is my back tight? Is my shoulder tight? My hips, like what area do I need to focus on? And then I just spend some more time kind of, I don't really do too much stretching, more just like movement that's going to loosen it up, whether it's body weight squats, some like cat cows, which is like a yoga pose, some like downward dogs mixed with like upward dogs, kind of just depending on what needs to be like addressed that day.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a great thing to do. That's a good tip as well. Start your day like that. Control your mornings. And another thing he did talk about was him being relatable, because he was heavyset as a younger, I guess as an adult in like his 20s, he became really heavyset, and he bounced back from that. And so this stuff wasn't easy for him. He had to work for it. He had to really grind for it. And that makes him a more relatable person, and he can relate to people's struggles because he was there in their shoes. And I don't know, do you feel like you can relate to people?
Yes, because if I haven't experienced it, there's people in my life that have, that mm-hmm. I'm like close to. I'm sure everybody has those people.
Yeah, I guess so. But see, I don't think I can, like when someone, I mean, we get all the time, people text us, you know, I cheated, or I cheated on the meal plan, not their spouse or anything. I mean, shit, you could text me that, I guess. I'll give relationship advice too. But yeah, skipping workouts, going out eating food they don't want, or they, you know, they do want, but they know it's not on the meal plan. I can't relate to that. And my advice is always, you know, do better and all that shit. But I can't be like, yeah, I was there with you. Like, you know, I really sympathize, because I don't. And it's fake as fuck when I say it, you know? So,
well, like, to me, the main thing is the stress related to that is going to be worse than the damage done. Like, one cookie, yeah, that's bad. But one cookie combined with you stressing about it for the next 2 days is way worse. It's like, hey, it's just, you know, it's just a couple cookies. It's just one soda, like, it's not the end of the world. Just get back on track tomorrow. Don't let that like one cookie turn into 50 cookies. But like the stress related around it is going to cause way more damage. And it's going to mess with your motivation more than just like doing it and then forgetting about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So are we ready to start talking about toxins and how we're all going to die because we're in the most toxic environment possible?
Yeah, I think so. But first, a quick message from me. TNT, wellnessandnutrition.com, whole food nutrition rediscovered. If you are struggling looking to improve your health or optimize your lifestyle, you can sign up for a custom meal plan on our website, TNTwellnessandnutrition.com. Back to today's topic. All right, I think it's time to, get started. Do we want to start with glyphosate?
Yeah, let's start with that, also known as Roundup. I mean, it is everywhere, and I mean, absolutely everywhere. So
but you pretty much can't avoid it, right?
You can, I mean, if you live in like a third world country, you're probably better off.
Yeah, I know, it's weird, right?
Yeah, but here, unfortunately, it is everywhere. So, I mean, it's in our food, it's in our clothes, it's in our water, like, it's everywhere. So, like, the first way that it's bad, and this is the worst way that it's bad, is it's a probable carcinogenic. But I have to say probable because there isn't enough evidence out there to say that it causes cancer, but it causes cancer.
Oh, 100% causes cancer. And if you don't know what Roundup is, you'll see the commercials. That's the shit they tell you to like spray on weeds. It's a herbicide, so it's designed, it's like a weed killer. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, like every GMO crop is genetically modified so that we can spray more of this Roundup on it. So yes, it kills everything else. It kills all the bugs. It kills all the weeds and just lets that crop live.
Yeah, and the main GMO crops are corn, soy, and wheat. Like, those are the heavy hitters when it comes to GMO crops. Yeah.
So in 2018, Monsanto, the makers of Roundup, now it's owned by Bayer, the, you know, the aspirin company. In California, they were ordered to pay $289 million. Yes, $250 million to a groundskeeper, one person that used Roundup regularly as part of his job. And as a result of using Roundup, he developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's a type of cancer that affects your lymph nodes. So they had to pay $289 million to one person because he developed cancer. I think it's pretty safe to say that it causes cancer in everyone.
100%. And man, I mean, it's so ironic that Bayer, actually, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but Bayer is a company designed to sell medicine to heal you, right?
Yeah.
So now what Bayer does, it sells a toxin that makes you sick. And guess what? When you're sick, here's a pill for that. That's like double dipping. And that's super, like...
That's some James Bond villain shit.
Yes, that's what it is.
Like, hey, I'm going to release this bomb that causes all sorts of diseases. I have this poison I'm going to release over a major city. And I'm the only one with the antidote to that poison. And I'm going to be the richest man in the world.
Yes.
That's that type of shit that's happening, like, right here with this.
It is that type of shit. It is. And that happens with the pharmaceutical company Pfizer. They sell the statin Lipitor. And guess what one of the symptoms of Lipitor is?
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, shit. Do you have a pill for that?
I think they're the ones that make Viagra.
Oh, right? Damn. So they're selling the sickness and then the cure to the sickness in the same, like, day. That's so fucked up.
And the people don't need to be on Lipitor in the first place.
No, and people. we don't need to be spraying shit with Roundup either. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been growing crops for, what, tens of thousands of years, roughly, without it. I think we'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So
I was really shocked that this person won this case and was very happy. And I'm just hoping that this is going to lead to more and more cases and this company folding from just losing all these different lawsuits.
Hope so.
I mean, this just happened last year, so hopefully more and more people can sue them and win. Because they're just destroying people's lives left and right.
But the thing is, Bayer's a huge company. So what's $280 million to Bayer?
Well, I mean, that is a lot of money. And if that's one person, mm-hmm. how many groundskeepers are out there using it all the time?
God, I hope they all come forward. I hope they all get that much money. Just bankrupt this company.
Yeah, how many different, like, not even groundskeepers, but, you know, just field workers that are getting exposed to it? And like we said, it's part of, like, every single crop.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, if this person could win this lawsuit, lots of other people can, and I hope they do.
Yeah, so do I.
So another major issue with Roundup, or glyphosate, is oxidative stress. So there's a great article that Dr. Chris Kresser just came out with, it's linked in the show notes, that he states that glyphosate increases oxidative stress in the body. And oxidative stress is just caused by having too many free radicals and reactive
oxygen species,
thank you. I was just thinking ROS, what's that O for?
Yeah.
The easiest one, I forget.
Yeah.
So it increases reactive oxygen species. And without having enough antioxidants to offset them, a lot of problems can ensue. So oxidative stress primarily damages the mitochondria and the DNA of your cells. And once that happens, everything can happen. Just think of all the chronic illnesses that we deal with on a daily basis today. So cancer, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, autoimmune issues, just everything. Alzheimer's, if you don't want to link that to diabetes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, we've said it a million times. I know mitochondria. I feel like mitochondria come up every other week on this damn podcast, but once your mitochondria go, you go straight up.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's like, once you, like, really start looking at everything under a microscope, it always your mitochondrial health.
It does. Everything does. Anything that hurts your mitochondria is just avoid at all cost.
Yeah, we cannot state how important your mitochondria are enough.
Yeah, we know.
Take really care can. Of them as much as you possibly can.
Exactly. You can keep going. I like this.
So without just causing, or it does more than just damage your mitochondria. It also damages your enzymes. So in that same article, Dr. Chris Kresser states that glyphosate disrupts the cytochrome P450 enzyme. I know that's a Dr. Seuss word. It sounds like I made it up. But this enzyme is involved in detoxification, cholesterol synthesis, and converting testosterone into estrogen. So detoxification, a very major thing if you're putting a toxin into your body.
Yes.
So now you're putting a toxin into your body, and now you're unable to detoxify it. So it's hurting yourself from both ends.
Exactly. And we just talked about oxidative stress. You know what cholesterol is? An antioxidant. You know what antioxidants do? They fight oxidative stress.
Yeah, when people deal with heart disease, the reason that they have high cholesterol is the cholesterol is a protective mechanism from all the oxidative stress that's been going on in your body. It's not the problem, it's the solution, and then we're trying to get rid of that solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cholesterol is not the bad guy, not even a little bit.
And then converting testosterone into estrogen, that can lead to a lot of other problems. I'm going to get into a little bit more detail in that on the next couple topics. But yes, that's another major issue. It's not only just for males, that's an issue with women too. Everybody wants to have testosterone and estrogen in their proper levels.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to be lean and mean. You don't want to be soft and fluffy. Yeah.
So another thing that it does is it's a mineral chelator. So it's a fancy way of saying that it binds to minerals. And according to a study by the NIH, that's also linked in the show notes, the main minerals that it binds to are calcium, cobalt, copper, iron, magnesium, and zinc.
You hold on. You mean all of them?
Basically.
Yeah.
So it takes the place of amino acids. Amino acids are supposed to bind with these minerals instead of the glyphosate. And so what this is going to do is it's going to lead to many mineral deficiencies. And then that, of course, is going to result with a bunch of different issues, including celiac disease, gluten intolerance, and kidney disease.
Yeah, you'll often find one of the magnesium supplements we recommend is magnesium glycinate. And that's magnesium bound to a glycine amino acid. And that's one of the reasons, or one of the ways our body will absorb that magnesium is by riding the coattails of glycine. So it's a very common thing.
And just that sentence alone, that it leads to celiac disease and gluten intolerance, really got me thinking. Is the wheat, because wheat consumption is linked to celiac disease and gluten intolerance heavily. But it just got me thinking, like, we've been eating wheat for the longest time. But these issues are kind of newer. I don't know if it's just because we're now able to diagnose them, or is it the glyphosate that's causing those issues and not the wheat? Or is it just a combination of the two? Is this creating like a perfect storm and just like really screwing over your health?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I don't know if anyone's really, well, I'm sure someone has proposed it before, but we have to do like a deep dive somewhere and find it. But I doubt we'll find an answer. But there is the wheat that we currently eat is actually called dwarf wheat. So it's not the same wheat that people would eat, say, I don't know, 3,000 years ago, or for any the last 10,000 years, that wheat is not the same wheat we eat today. They actually genetically modified the wheat into dwarf wheat so they can fit more wheat like per acre of land just to feed more people. And so we have new wheat today, and it's all sprayed in this glyphosate crap. So really, what's causing the issue, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be both. I mean, I avoid all bread anyway. I've been doing it for a while. So, I mean, it probably... it has a lot to do with it being a new form of wheat that we're just not evolved to eat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. It could be both.
I think it's an interesting question to ask. Hopefully one of us can figure that out.
Hopefully, yeah, there will be studies coming out on that in the next like 10 years.
Yeah.
But as of right now, just avoid them.
Yeah, as of right now, just avoid them. There's actually a great book, one that I read. It's called Life Without Bread. And I recommend everyone's life is without bread. You just don't need it.
Yeah, I don't miss sandwiches that much. I still eat burgers all the time, and I just eat the burger without the bread.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, I guess I just eat it with a fork. It's kind of weird, but it just tastes just as good.
It is.
Ground beef is still really delicious. Bacon's good.
Yeah, cheese works.
Yeah, I mean, cheese works perfectly. It kind of binds everything together. Throw some, like, onions, some garlic on there, some mushrooms. Delicious.
Yeah, you're fine. The bread is not needed. It's not. It's almost just, we're so used to it that it's hard for our brains to kind of get used to life without bread. But if you can, man, just cut it out your diet. There's no need for it.
Yeah, I've never really thought, like, you know what the best part of this steak dinner was? The bread.
Yeah, that, like, bread I had first.
Yeah, that never has really come up.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And it's, I always think it's funny. People tell me they're, like, addicted to bread. Oh, I'm addicted to bread.
Well, it turns to sugar rather quick.
Oh, I love it.
So I can understand it, but I don't know, not to me.
Yeah, me either, man.
So here are some of the popular places that you're going to find glyphosate. So any non-organic crop. So like we talked about earlier, corn and wheat are the major ones. So just anything that comes from corn and wheat that is not...
And soy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, soy as well.
Yeah.
So
fuck
just...
soy. Every chance I have to bash soy, I'm bashing it. Yeah.
So just think of like... any type of snack food, chips, popcorn, cookies, damn near anything, or almost everything is made from corn or wheat. Everything. So unless it's organic and non-GMO, you're getting some glyphosate in that.
And if you go to the store and whatever you're buying is in like a plastic package, put money, corn, wheat, or soy is in there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's like 99% true.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, exactly. And if it's not, it's going to be in big, bold letters on like the top because they're like obviously marketing towards that. But anything that doesn't say it, it's in there.
So another source that you're not really thinking of is cotton. Cotton's heavily sprayed with glyphosate. So
this got me when we were doing this, doing the research for this podcast. Like, you know, we're both pretty aware of what's going on. And I'm hearing like, oh, cotton spread and then glyphosate through the skin and all that. And I'm like, fuck, man, is my shirt organic? You know what I mean? Like, I had to think about it. And it's not something I've really ever considered.
Yeah. So I'm not saying throw away all your shirts because, you know, 95% of my shirts are cotton. So, like, that is one issue, but I don't know how big of a deal that's really going to be. But, ladies, tampons. Buy organic tampons. Because you don't want to be putting something toxic inside your body.
And yeah, that's, like, literally inside your body. And those membranes are super thin, and they're designed to absorb nutrients.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot more absorption that way than you are from wearing a shirt on your back.
Yeah.
Another source that most people don't think about is coffee. Coffee is another one of those. So buy organic coffee if you're still one of those coffee drinkers.
Yeah, I think coffee is the third most sprayed crop in the world. And people wouldn't think about that, but it's true.
You know, it's not really... If you Google just is coffee sprayed with glyphosate, it comes up. But if you just look at like what are like the primary stuff, it's mostly just like food products, stuff that you eat directly, not coffee isn't on there. Another one that a lot of people aren't really thinking of is wine. So buy organic wines if you can think of. I recently came across a study. Sure, it was a very, very small sample size. It tested 20 wines in Northern California. There are hundreds of wineries out here. Each of them produce like 5 to 10 wines each. So there are thousands of wines in Northern California. They only tested 20 of them, but 20 of 20 tested positive for glyphosate.
Yeah. So if you can extrapolate that times it, you know, by 10,
yeah,
that's 200 or 200.
Yeah, so maybe not 100% are going to test positive for glyphosate.
But it's not looking good.
Yeah, I mean, chances are that it probably gets sprayed with it. Yeah. And, you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah, because it's everywhere.
Yeah, everybody else is using it, so why wouldn't wine companies?
Exactly.
And then tap water, it's in our water. And unfortunately, like, even if you do buy organic, you're probably still going to get some of it. Just because the way that farmers spray glyphosate is through crop dusting through the air. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there's wind in the air. And it's going to blow that glyphosate kind of everywhere. So even organic is still going to have some of it, but just a lot less.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like a laser just shot from like the sky to the exact crop they want. It's kind of like just that big mist and it goes everywhere. And there's actually a funny story about this. The place where I get my beef is it's local beef. It's grass-fed beef. It's actually really good stuff. But it doesn't have the organic label. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's up with that. So I actually got in contact with the CEO of the company. I emailed him, had a few, you know, had a dialogue with him, what's going on. And part of the reason why he doesn't have the organic label is, one, it's just pricey for, like, these small operations to actually get that organic label. It costs a lot of money. But also, he said the feed he has for his cows will get cross-contaminated with glyphosate. Not that he uses it. But if they come out and test it, it'll be on that field because the neighboring farms will use glyphosate. And he doesn't have a choice. Like, he's screwed.
Yeah, it really screws over the little man. I mean, it sucks.
He's not like some big operation, you know, so it kind of sucks. Yeah, actually looking into the cotton stuff as well, I kind of want to go back to that, how this whole argument is a little more nuanced, something I say a lot, a little more nuanced than that. So growing cotton organically has to be done in a dry environment. So think of like a desert pretty much, right? So you're growing cotton, which is very water intensive. It takes a lot of water. You're in a desert that doesn't have a lot of water. So I saw this video of a lake that actually got drained because of an organic cotton like field or an organic cotton operation. And it showed it was like a time lapse over like 15 years. This big ass lake turned into a big ass dry lake bed because of this organic cotton, right? Now, we recommend organic cotton because of this, but that price, I mean, that tag comes with a price. They can grow cotton in these more wet environments, if they spray the shit out of it with glyphosate, because they don't have to worry about it being, you know, broken down by various whatever animals or weeds, overgrowth, things like that. So the price of organic cotton is also like desertification. Like, it's turning these lakes into fucking nothing.
Wow, I didn't know about that. Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There's just different levels to it, yeah. And that's just because there's too many damn people on this planet. There's just not enough resources. I know that's a whole other argument, but I just wanted to bring that up, you know?
All right, so were you ready to talk about heavy metal?
Yeah, not the music. Yeah, not the music. Not my type of jam. More of a rap guy myself. But, yeah, so the term heavy metal just refers to any metallic chemical element that has a relatively high density and is toxic or poisonous at low concentrations. So the examples would be mercury, cadmium, arsenic, chromium, and lead. So you're going to be exposed to most heavy metals through the water supply. We talked about it earlier with glyphosate and how it kind of interacts with enzymes, making them kind of malfunction. And heavy metals do pretty much the same exact thing. So remember our magnesium podcast, like whatever, 50 podcasts ago, magnesium is a cofactor in over 600 chemical reactions. And our body needs these cofactors to allow the enzymatic reactions to occur. And if you don't know how important enzymatic reactions are, I mean, you remember that coral reef example you had?
Yeah, that's what makes us different than a coral reef.
Because the coral reef's alive.
Yeah, you just need a time-lapse video to prove it.
Exactly. So enzymes allow us to kind of do things quickly. Allows us to move, allows us to think, allows us just to be humans. So when something can take over and manipulate these enzymes, it's a problem. So heavy metals, specifically lead's a big one you get from water. If you think of Flint, Michigan, like their big like epidemic a few years back was they had too much lead in the water. It actually can replace like mercury, I mean, excuse me, it can replace magnesium in these chemical reactions. And now everywhere that magnesium was supposed to be, now there's lead, and those enzymes do not fire anymore. And that can lead to various, I mean, obviously magnesium is so prevalent in our body, it does hundreds of different reactions. So when lead takes its place, you can have symptoms ranging from A to Z and everywhere in between. But it can also just lead to predominantly like just kidney damage, liver damage, and just organ failure. That's why you can die from these heavy metal toxins.
A lot of the heavy metals being in our water are just due to us having poor infrastructure in America and not replacing these pipes in proper time. Like, most cities have been around for at least 100 years plus. Those pipes are damn near just as old. So, like, with those old pipes, they're starting to rust. They're, you know, we're getting metals through the pipes that way. That's how we get most of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, this problem could be fixed if we just, like you said, replace infrastructure. But do you see that happening anytime soon?
You know, it would be nice if somebody like Elon Musk, instead of trying to build another like spaceship and go to outer space, be the first person to Mars, if he just decided, you know what, I'm gonna fix an entire city.
Yes,
he could easily do it.
He's roads, got the money, bridges, everything.
Yeah. He could be the most beloved man in Flint, Michigan ever if he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, it's funny, right? Everyone's worried about the next planet. How do we fix a planet we're on now?
It seems like a bigger issue.
Yeah, exactly. So, and obviously, like, death from heavy metal poisoning is real, and that's something, you know, to be concerned about, but can also lead to cancer. And like we talked about earlier with the glyphosate, with damage to DNA, so with these enzymatic reactions, DNA is always being damaged in us. Like, our body's always exposed to toxins, it's always exposed to free radicals, and so things are happening, especially in our mitochondria. The DNA in our mitochondria is being damaged all the time. And that's a problem, but our body has built-in defenses to protect against that. So it has, you know, enzymes that sense and various genes that sense when damage to DNA is occurring, and then it has methods to repair that DNA. But when these heavy metals get in the place of the right cofactor, our body can no longer make the necessary changes to repair the DNA. And so what happens is the DNA damages just keep occurring, and they just accrue so much damage that a cell can become cancerous. And I'm talking about mitochondrial DNA. Don't talk to me about nucleus DNA becoming damaged and causing cancer. I don't want to hear it. Cancer is about the mitochondria, not the nucleus. I think, have we talked about that in the cancer episode?
I'm sure we did, and we should probably do another one.
We probably should. But, so yeah, when that damage in our mitochondria, I mean, when the DNA in our mitochondria becomes damaged, that's when cancer can kick in, so be aware of lead in your environment. There's lead paint. Make sure you cover over that. And as far as water, the best way to really worry and get rid of these heavy metals is to get water through the process of reverse osmosis. And I'm lucky. I have access to that water pretty readily at my grocery store. There's like a big fountain and it's just reverse osmosis water. But I don't know. Is it everywhere?
If you have the money, you can get that installed at your home.
Okay.
It is pricey. But it's worth it because it is the best way to get rid of all these toxins.
It is, yeah. So I just, when you're out there, look for water that has gone through the process of reverse osmosis, and you should be okay. You won't have to worry too much about heavy metals because that's going to be your main exposure route.
Yeah, especially if you can't get reverse osmosis, you know, through your shower heads, your taps and everything like that, at least replace your drinking water and maybe your cooking water too if you can afford it.
Yeah.
That's a really good place to start. So another place that toxins are all around us is what we put on our body on a daily basis. So stuff like cosmetics and personal care products. Unfortunately, the U.S. federal government does not test for the safety of ingredients other than coloring additives in cosmetics and personal care products. So basically, it's up to the manufacturer. And that seems like a bit of a conflict of interest.
Hold on. So you're asking the manufacturer of, say, this lotion to say this lotion's bad?
Pretty much.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then once it's out, you pretty much have to have enough evidence to prove that it's unsafe for it to be taken off the market. Like, there are hundreds of products that are in our market that are not in, like, Europe and other places like that. Or if they are, they have to have, a warning label like we do on cigarettes or, like, alcohol.
That's crazy to think, by the way, that there's all this shit that we're exposed to that, like, half the world is like, oh, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, pretty much, like, scientifically proven, oh, hey, this is bad. But it's not good enough for us.
It's weird, right?
You would think if it's thought to be bad or it's probably bad.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, no, not for us.
Not for us.
But hey, we can get rich off of it.
And people are. People yeah. are getting
so, rich. So, like, off I it. Mean, I guess that's a fair argument. Not to me, but
yeah,
to certain people, I guess it is.
So what are some, like, certain things in cosmetics people should worry about?
So there's a lot of them. There's over 15. I have a link to one of them, link to a study that cites 15 and just kind of where to find them. I'm just going to focus on two right now. So one is phthalate. It's found in lotions and skincare products. According to a study by the NIH, it impairs androgen production. So if you think of, like, androgen, that's like testosterone, and it can lead to androgen insufficiency syndrome. So what this could do is it can lead to, like, many reproductive issues, especially in men, including infertility. And women, you're not safe either, because you can pass this on to your children. So you can have a son, but now he's going to be infertile. Or you're going to have a son, but it's, like, really estrogen dominant. So he's going to have the genetics of a man, but then, like, woman features. So just think of something like man boobs as, like, the easiest one to think of because it's visible. But yeah, you're also going to be infertile. You're going to have low testosterone. Like, that means you're going to have low energy. It's going to be hard to put on muscle. Like, testosterone is important in both sexes, and not just for men.
It is. Yeah, exactly. And that's something people would never think about that when they put on lotion, like, after they get out of the shower.
Well, I think most people just think,
this is safe.
Yeah. If it's sold in the store, it's safe.
Yes.
But no, that's just not the case. Unfortunately, it should be.
But it's not.
So another popular product are parabens. Those are, again, are found in, like, skincare products, like makeup, really popular in deodorants and antiperspirants. And according to a study by the NIH, they act as androgen antagonists by inhibiting sulfotransferase enzymes. So that's basically just an enzyme that's responsible for producing androgens. So again, androgens, testosterone, think of it that way. So again, this is going to lead to male infertility as well as estrogen dominance. So both of these, parabens and phthalates, are going to have many of the same issues. And these are not the only toxins, again, that are found in cosmetics and personal care products. I have a list provided that has 15 commonly found ones that we put on our skin on a daily basis.
Yeah, if we were going to list all of them, the entire podcast would just be about cosmetic.
We can absorb many, many different things through our skin. So putting things on our skin is very important. Like, if you can't put something on your skin, or if you can't eat something, you shouldn't be putting it on your skin.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for me, my deodorant, the main ingredient is coconut oil. And with the lotion I use is actually a beef tallow lotion. And I know it's gross, and there's ways to make it smell better, like you put essential oils in it. I don't give a shit. I literally have a jar of beef tallow in my bathroom, and I just use that as lotion. I just mix a little on my skin, and it works. And I can eat coconut oil, and I can eat beef tallow, and that's how I get around those toxins putting on our skin, because I know our skin is just like a big sponge. It really will soak up the things we put on it. So if you put on toxins, guess what? You're going to soak up toxins.
Yeah, and just talking about coconut oil is the base of so many different personal care products, and it's really cheap. So it's better just to buy coconut oil and use it for a lot of different things. Don't you use it for shaving cream?
Yeah, actually, for a while I was using coconut oil for shaving cream. I just recently transferred over to beef tallow just because I wanted to see the difference, and I actually like beef tallow more. It makes the shave a little bit smoother. Something about beef tallow is very thick. It's very almost chalky, where coconut oil is very smooth, very slick. So I can get a lot of beef tallow on my damn face, and I can go to town with this razor, and it doesn't. There's like no burn, no nothing. Yeah.
I've used coconut oil in the past for shaving. I don't know if you guys have seen me. This is a non-visual.
Looks like Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, I got a massive beard right now. So, like, that's why I don't use coconut oil, but I would if I was shaving.
Yeah.
And then also how I talked about earlier, how I was going on those, like, cold walks all through winter. There'd be times where my hands would get a little dry. Instead of just buying some lotion, I just rub a little bit of coconut oil, clear them right up. No problems.
Yep.
So we're not trying to just, you know, get you down, get you freaking out that everything in your environment is trying to kill you. No, there's a lot of things that you can do about all the toxins in our world. What's the first one?
Buy organic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just avoid them at all costs. And buying organic is a great way to start.
Exactly. And there's this website. It's EWG. Is it EWG.org? Is
that? Yes.
Okay, so EWG.org. And it'll have just, it's a great resource. You've done a deep dive on there.
Yeah, you can find everything. Pretty much all our avoidance, or pretty much most of our things to deal with toxins are coming from there. So they have, at the very least, if you're not going to always buy organic, which we strongly suggest, avoid the Dirty Dozen. Those are the most heavily sprayed crops out there. And eat the Clean 15. Those are the least sprayed crops. But again, buy organic if you can.
And at this stage of the game, how much more expensive is organic? Because that's usually people's biggest complaint.
When I go to the grocery store, I'm usually looking at these two lists just to know, like, hey, don't even bother looking at the regular price. Just look for the organic price. And then I'll also just compare them. And sometimes organic's the same price. Even if it's something that's on the Clean 15, it's like, why not just buy something that's superior?
Exactly. So do a little price checking out there. People are just under the assumption that if it's organic, it's going to cost twice as much. Sometimes it'll be the same price, or sometimes it'll be 10, 20 cents more. And I would recommend paying the price difference just to make sure you're not being exposed to some of these toxins.
Yeah, and honestly, that price gap isn't as big as it used to be because organic products are getting more and more popular and stores aren't stupid. You know, if people are going to be buying it, they're going to start carrying more of them. And if they're carrying more of them, the price is going to go down.
Exactly. They're going to go with the trends. They're going to go where the money is. And right now, the money is in organic.
Thank God. Like, that's one thing turning in the right way.
It is, yeah.
So Environmental Working Group has another database. It's called Skin Deep. And you can use this for all your, like, skincare products, your deodorants, your toothpaste, just everything like that. You just type it in, and then it gives you a ranking from 1 to 10. 1 being good, and then 10 being bad, and there's like a green, yellow, and a red. So hey, if you're in the green, good. If you're in the yellow, if it's something you're not using on a daily basis, maybe it's okay, but maybe look for something that's in that green. And if it's the red, throw that shit away, buy something new.
Yeah, and like I mentioned at the beginning of this, we're ahead of the curve. We did clear out our lives, I don't know, a few years back. I remember my body wash was some real bro shit, some like Axe stuff. I don't know what it was, but I was like, okay, let me see what's in this. I did that little search and it came back red. And I was like, oh, that's great. I've only been using this since I was 12. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I threw it away. And now what I use actually for soap is a bar that I get. It's actually a locally produced bar made from olive oil and coconut oil. And that's what I use for soap in the shower. So there are ways around it, just natural stuff.
Yeah, and like I mentioned earlier, coconut oil is used for everything. It's great. Olive oil, we've been using olive oil on our skin for years. That's one of the major uses that the Greeks had for it.
Yeah, they weren't eating a lot of that olive oil. Yeah, it was like more of a cosmetic thing, yeah, on the skin.
Yeah, and for your water, check out Environmental Working Groups. They have a water filter buying guide. As Tyson mentioned earlier, reverse osmosis is the way to go, but it is costly. So you can just find one that's within your price range, whether it's, you know, one of those pitcher filters, one that you put on your tap water, you know, just something like that. Or if you got the money and you own a house, you can get one for your house.
Yeah, that's the way to go. If you want to ball out, get a baller water system. That's the way to do it. Yeah, fuck getting a nice car. Get a built-in, like, nice thing for your house. Yeah.
Oh, something that's going to pay off in the long run?
Exactly, right? Because I don't care how much money you got in the bank. If you're 80 years old and you're sick as shit, it's not going to buy you health.
No, not at all.
No. And there's a big one that doesn't get brought up a lot as far as how to avoid toxins, how to detox naturally. Like, what do you think is a huge thing people don't talk about as far as detoxing?
Fasting.
Fasting, right? We love fasting.
And it's cheaper than free.
Literally.
Like, not only does it not cost you anything, but you're actually saving money because you're not going to the grocery store and buying food for the time that you're are fasting. So it literally is cheaper than free.
Like, that's crazy.
Nobody has an excuse not to be able to do this. Every month I do a 3-day fast. I try to start off each month so I can keep track of it, doing a 3-day fast.
And honestly, if you're so metabolically dysfunctional and you can't fast for a day, fix your diet. That should not be that big of a challenge.
Yeah, maybe you can't do a 3-day fast, but you can do something. And both of us intermittent fast every single day.
Yep.
I'm on most of the time 18 hours between meals, or sometimes 24, depending.
Yeah, right now, with my diet being a little unique, I'm on that classic 8-hour feeding window, 16-hour fasted window. And I would honestly consider that the biggest feeding window to have would be 8 hours, but it still counts.
And then according to Dr. Alan Goldhammer in an interview that he did with NIH, the benefits of fasting come from one, avoid putting more toxins into your body. So at least you're going like a long period of time without just adding more fuel to that fire. And then you're also allowing the body to remove toxins present in the body. And then just removing the toxins from your body, that's allowing your body to heal itself. Our body is a masterpiece. That's why we're here. We've been around for so long. Is it has such a great ability to heal itself. It just needs time to do it. Do not putting a bunch of poisonous shit in your body and giving it the right stuff so that it can repair itself. You do all those things, like, you can cure pretty much any disease. Like, your body has the ability to do it, and it knows how to do those things.
Exactly. It does, yeah. And that's something I recommend. Whenever any of our clients actually get sick, any of my family gets sick, I always recommend a little bit of salt in the morning and then fast. Just give your body a break and let your body heal. And even if they're not fat adapted, even if they're just coming from the standard American diet, it might suck, but just fast and let your body focus on that sickness rather than dealing with all the other shit you're putting in the form of food.
And the majority of the time that you are sick, like, you're not hungry anyway. It's not like I'm craving like bacon and eggs when I'm sick. Like, normally it's just, I don't feel good, I'm tired, I just want to lay down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not usually, hunger is not one of the first things on my mind.
But you know the traditional method, or not the traditional message when it comes to, like, oh, I'm sick, I don't want to eat. Your mom, oh, you have to have something. Here's crackers. Yeah. Here's 7-Up. And I'm like, oh, you're fucking up the whole game. You know what I mean? Just, okay. Just don't do that. Don't put anything in your stomach.
I forget the old saying, but if you're eating while you're sick, you're feeding the sickness. I think it's like a Hippocrates quote. I probably
got it. Yeah, it is. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy was on to something. All right.
So another one that's not quite as cheap as fasting, but it's still free, is sweating. So not only is skin like a great way to add toxins to your body, it also can be the largest detox organ. You have sweat glands everywhere. So yeah, if you take advantage of that, it's a great tool.
Yeah, use them. And this is something I've thought about doing. I know I talked to you about it, getting an actual, like, infrared sauna. You can get those in your house and just get a real deep sweat. I haven't pulled the trigger yet because I just don't know if I'll use it. Like, we talk about living life to 100%. There's always more shit you can do. Like, I just added 30 minutes of yoga. Like, I'm already waking up dumbass early. Am I going to wake up another hour early and sit in this hot chair for an hour? I don't know, you know?
The way I use it is, well, I'm constantly sweating anyway. Like, I'm pretty active. Yeah. And then after every time I go to the gym, which is only like a couple times a week, I make sure I go to the sauna for a good 15, 20 minutes. And it's better to use a sauna than a steam room because steam rooms don't filter the water that they use. So that steam, you're breathing that in. So you're breathing in molds and other toxins that Tyson was talking about earlier that are found in our water. You're breathing all that in. So yeah, maybe you're eliminating some toxins, but now you're adding more into your body. So maybe it's a net positive, maybe it's a net negative, but you're not doing as much good. And I'm not comfortable in a steam room. Like, I don't know people that can just stay in a steam room for hours on end. Like, it's not the most comfortable thing.
I haven't been in a steam room in a long time. Probably since with you when we were like kids.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, not too many gyms really have them. I think that's more of like a spa type thing, okay, or like a high-end gym. Yeah, like the sauna is the way to go if you have the option. But you don't even need that. Like, you have a heater in your car. Use that. It's almost summertime. Go outside and just sweat.
It'll be hot.
Like, it's not hard to break a sweat.
No.
Tyson was talking about having a sauna in his house. One cheap way to do it, there's a lot of ways you can look it up online, is you can just buy some heat lamps. I mean, you want to make sure you're buying them with the right materials and you're not going to be, like, burning something or exposing yourself to a bunch of, like, EMFs and, you know, other toxins to your body. But there are, like, really cheap ways you can just create a sauna in your house.
And it's you know what I thought about when you said that? If you buy a bunch of heat lamps and also you set up your house, your electricity bill goes through the roof, the feds are going to think you're growing weed in your house. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Good point.
I guess it's legal
it's
now.
Legal
I guess,
in it's legal in California.
Yeah, it's legal where we are. Yeah.
And then also, if you are going to be using sweating as a detox method, it's best if it's done in a parasympathetic state. So that just means, like, your sympathetic is your fight or flight. So, like, if you're running from a tiger, you know, like, you're in the gym working out, that's a sympathetic state. Your body's more focused on dealing with the threat at hand, with whatever stress is going on, than worrying about detoxification-like mechanisms. So if you're in a parasympathetic state, you know, a nice relaxed state, get that heart rate down, then you're able to do more detoxification. I've seen studies where say this is bullshit. I've also seen studies that say it's true. So I don't really know how accurate it is, but it makes sense in my head.
And what's the harm anyways?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, just relax.
Yeah, listen to some calming music or do some sort of meditation while you're in there. Yeah. I mean, these things are good on their own without in a sweating atmosphere, so you might as well do them. They're just not going to cause you harm.
Exactly. And this last one, this is something, honestly, out of all the tips of the weeks you've done, the one that's like hit me the hardest was you telling us to get plants in your house. That's the biggest one.
Yeah, and honestly, like, nobody really thinks about that.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, and honestly, I never did either until I came across it. I came across it in a sleeping book, too.
Was it?
Yeah. It was just a way to just kind of, like, make your sleeping environment even better. Turn your bedroom into, like, an oasis. And when you think of an oasis, you think of green, you think of plants.
Yeah.
And not only is it doing that, it's adding clean air to your environment, but it's also removing a bunch of toxins. And I have a link to an article I wrote based on that tip of the week that goes into a lot more details of what plants can do for you. And it also has a link to a NASA-provided list of what plants to buy and what toxins they detox.
Yeah, so I now have a peace lily in my room. So where I'm sleeping, where I'm spending, honestly, the bulk of my time is hopefully having a little bit of a air filter, a natural air filter. And if you can't, if there are certain spots in your home, maybe you don't get a lot of sunlight, or if you just don't want, like, I guess, a shit ton of plants in your house, you can buy something like a HEPA filter and plug that in somewhere. There are other ways to clean the air, but I think plants are the way to go. They're cheap, they look good, and, yeah, they're easy. Mine hasn't died yet. You know what I mean? Just water it.
Yeah, and if you either go to, like, a nursery, talk to somebody that knows what they're, knows a bunch about plants, or just look this stuff up online, you can find one like, hey, you know what? I'm lazy as hell. I'm probably going to kill a plant. What's a plant that's not going to die easy? Like, what's a plant that doesn't need that much sunlight? What's a plant that doesn't need that much water? Because I'm probably going to forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's one that's just like, what's the toughest plant out there?
Yeah, I want the most gangster plant. Go with that one.
What's the David Goggins of plants? Like, yes. I need that one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to you finish that book, too. We can talk about it next week again.
Oh, yeah, I got another run coming up. I'm going to listen to probably finish it on my next run.
Cool. Did you have a tip of the week?
I think I just gave you about 10.
So yes. I think we got it covered.
Yeah, so no tip of the week. I mean, you could think of this as a bunch of little tips of the week. So, yeah, just unfortunately, toxins are absolutely everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Yes. We're surrounded by them right now, even though we're actively doing what we can to avoid them. But just, you know, try to avoid the ones that you can and then take advantage of these, especially most of the stuff we suggested is free, cheap. Like, it's not that hard to do. It just takes a little bit of awareness And then just, you know, a little bit of effort. Not that much.
Exactly. It's good advice. Well, all right, that's another podcast in the books. You guys can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on all social media platforms, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Feel free to reach out. And you can email us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition@gmail.com.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please rate and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And don't forget to go to our website and subscribe there. That way you can get all of our tips of the week and all of our podcasts as soon as they come out. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.